You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
You would think after watching the St. Louis Blues last night win the Stanley Cup that your wish will come true and that there will be all kinds of movement throughout the NHL. Why are people going to fall? Look at how they kind of revamped that team, and although they were in last place, but they got the job done. They went out and they signed Tyler Bozak. They traded for Ryan O'Reilly.
Signed Patrick Maroon.
Like, all these teams that are like, we're not giving up on that guy. It's like, why? You don't win. I think there should be tons of movement. If it's a copycat league,
he'll sign with it.
I love that idea.
Like, you know what? That's a revamped team, and it's just like the Raptors this year. We'll give it a shot with this group.
Good point.
Way you go.
Good point, Jeff. Is that a good point, Brian?
You don't have to sell me on that idea, man.
Here's the thing I thought about it. Copycat league.
Well, not league, but you look at that and say, wow, they took a chance on that guy. They got this guy.
The one thing if you want to bring it back to Toronto, the way the team is constructed right now, the Leafs, they won't win the Cup because the bottom of the roster is not strong enough.
Not even close.
That's what Kyle Dubas has, because they've got top-end talent. But a lot of the league has top-end talent, Tarasenko, the Cup-winning teams, Washington, Pittsburgh, top-end talent. Now, the Leafs have lots, too. But the bottom of the roster, you think Freddie the Goat would have won them St. Louis a Cup last night?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they could have won if you replaced the fourth-line center and put in Freddie the Goat.
I doubt that. That's my point.
I don't think Freddie the Goat is the reason you're going to win or not win.
But that's the fourth line for the Toronto Maple Leafs is not strong enough. And the fourth line for both of those teams in the Stanley Cup final was strong.
You're right, but that's an interesting angle because I was thinking about it from the same perspective, but I looked at a very different position.
Yeah?
Freddie Anderson's got to be the best player, period.
Yeah.
End of story.
You're right. Goaltending.
Without Jordan Binnington, this team is in the lottery. That's the fact. Because you're right, they made a lot of moves, but they didn't make any big moves during the season.
Yeah.
They made two moves.
Yeah.
Craig Berube, you're behind the bench, and we're going to call up some kid no one's ever heard of before. That's the only difference.
Well,
you go back January 3rd to June 12th, the difference is who played in net.
And played better,
too. I don't care
about
sample
size. The team played better,
or
clearly.
Whatever. This kid, when he goes to the table for the contract, I don't care how many. It's only half a season. I won you the Stanley Cup. I was the best player in that game last night. I kept you winning it in the first period. I want money. I want to get paid.
He's going to get paid.
He will never have more leverage in his life.
That's exactly. People are like, oh, I got Corsi. I got this. I had takeaways in the third. I just won you the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. You're right.
What other number do you want to show a guy on a piece of paper?
Oh, and Craig Berube, the same thing.
Takeaways in the third.
Does he have to interview for the job?
If I'm Craig, I'm saying, let me know when you want to interview.
And my number is starting with a 6.
Yeah. I want to be one of the top five highest paid coaches in the league.
5x5 contracts are just dished out like candy right now. It's like, here's 5x5. I just won you the Stanley Cup. My number starts with 6.
But that's where I think you got to be. Like, that's what gets organizations into trouble. When you think with your heart instead of your head.
Not the coach, though. There's no salary cap.
Yeah, exactly.
That's on the owner.
Coach. Like, that's,
you know what I mean?
The owner,
that's on Doug Armstrong going to the owner and saying, listen, he'd like to have $5 million. Are you willing to pay it?
Yeah.
Now's the time to get to the owner because the owner's thinking, man, look at how much money we're making. We just won a Stanley Cup.
And he's,
the city's
exactly.
buzzing. Now, Binnington is different because it's a contract and it's a salary cap issue. But if I'm Binnington, I'm saying I want term, I want money because of what I just offered you. And he's never going to have more leverage in his life.
You're right.
But, I think we're both on the same page in terms of the Maple Leafs, if we're going to put that spin on it. There's no doubt they need better depth.
Yeah.
They need a better third
and
fourth
line. That's all I think. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful.
No, it's the truth.
I was looking at it going, the Leafs have top-end talent that can push through. But then the top-end...
They don't need a talent upgrade.
But the top-end talent has to play like Braden Schenn and has to block shots like Parayko. And, like, they blocked 25 shots last night. Like, Binnington made some fantastic saves. After that, St. Louis strangled them. Like,
oh, that's as good a defensive hockey as you're going to see.
You remember
that was 1995 New Jersey Devils stuff. Like,
remember,
that
was it Winnipeg in Game 6 where they had six shots after two periods?
Yeah. Now that was after the first period.
Right.
You could, like, that Pietrangelo goal was the backbreaker.
That was a dagger.
That was it. You know the Bruins went into the back room or into their locker room and said, "I can't believe we're down 2-0," because the Bruins dominated them in the first period. The Blues, it's not that they didn't show up. They couldn't get out of their own way, and the Bruins were all over them. All over them. Yeah. And Binnington kept them in that game, and then all of a sudden the Blues got two on the board, and they said, boys, it's ours. Let's go out and play the way we know how to play.
And that was exactly what they did. Yeah.
But honestly, again, I looked at that and saying, Tuukka Rask was clearly the best player on the Bruins.
Yeah.
Clearly. And I'm fine with O'Reilly winning the Conn Smythe. He had a spectacular run.
Yeah, yeah.
But Binnington, you know, I always have the viewpoint that you could give it to the goalie every single time.
Well, you can give MVPs. It's because it's the most important position.
It's the most important position, it's not even close. And that's the truth. If I'm Dubas, I got a lot of work to do. And I've got to fill out a lot of different positions. But I also have got to find a way to make sure Freddie Anderson is the best player.
Well,
because if he's not, you're not winning a cup.
Well, defensemen and the way they played in front of him, the way they defend.
That helps
everything.
A lot.
Everything.
That helps a lot.
You can have
the
talent and the power play, but the way they played in their own zone, the physicality, protecting their goaltender, getting the puck out of trouble, blocking shots, everything.
Like they played, you can't play like that 82 games and then do it 2 months in the playoffs, but they identified what they needed to do and did it to a T. And the leadership, like, I thought it was outstanding. I mean, I played with Jay Bouwmeester when he was 19. By the way, I don't know if you, like, his post-game interview, like, did you guys see it at all? He was interviewed on the ice. Like, Jay's a pretty quiet guy and stuff. It was hilarious. Like, you would have thought that he, like, just won
like
a game in
care?
November. He
oh,
was
really?
Like, yeah, this is a great feeling. And I was like, come on, Bo, give us something.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant because you could tell he was overwhelmed, but it was like, I've never been here. This is amazing.
I'm so rattled.
I don't know if we could. Because it's on,
if
the,
it was
other
on
company,
the other
company.
Yeah,
so we can't. But the dig up the sound, it was unreal. But going back to that, like the storylines for St. Louis, in Toronto that night, I believe it was in November. He was a healthy scratch. Last night he played 30 minutes, close to 30 minutes, and was fantastic. But, like, they had players, on paper they looked a lot better, but they underachieved and they couldn't get a save. Like, it was almost a tale of two seasons. And I know, including myself, and I'm sure, Brian, you and O, we wrote St. Louis off, like the rest of the league, in December. I really remember us saying, like, St. Louis is gone.
Oh, absolutely.
Other than St. Louis,
they were with LA and with other.
Like,
yeah, they
other
were
than
done.
Other than St. Louis, I think it was like St. Louis and LA were like, the West is a crapshoot because it's wide open. Other than St. Louis and LA,
right?
They were gone.
It was, yeah. Those two teams were gone.
And then
it was
they
like,
got
leave
going
us alone. You're not included anymore.
It was.
It's truly one of the most remarkable stories that I can remember in pro sports.
I was asked that today. I don't think it does it justice, but. The soccer team, Leicester City.
I mean, now that was a full season where if you didn't start strong in the Premiership, they were great the whole year.
Right.
That's why I'm not sure if this even holds up because.
Well, that Oakland A's team, the Billy Bean. Moneyball.
Yeah, but they didn't win it.
I know.
That's
they got into the playoffs and they got.
And not only did they win it, they won it in that building. Boston.
Three games.
The epicenter of North American sports over the past 20 years has been Boston. That is where championships go to be celebrated. And they roll into that building and
win. Handily.
And they win. Like, and they run away with it by the end of the third.
By the end of the third. You're right. The first period, like, that could have been an easily 3-0 for Boston, and the game's over. Like, you know, Binnington made 3 or 4 fantastic saves. And they made a really good one in the second, and the one on number 20, I'm drawing a blank, in the third period. Nordstrom, right pad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, unreal.
Fantastic.
Unreal.
Because the game was at 2-0 at that point.
Yep.
And then and then St. Louis came down and scored the third goal. That was it. It was done. But good hockey game. Good. It's weird, though. I felt like this. I think Kristen Shilton tweeted it out last night, and I agreed with her. Didn't the final seem like it took 3 weeks, a month?
Too long.
Well, you know what, though? I think it applies with both of them because the Raptors are playing tonight. This feels like the longest gap between games I can ever recall.
Yeah, it feels like 4 days, 5 days.
It feels like forever
ago. It feels like that game the other day where Durant got hurt was a week ago. Like, I know rest and travel coast to coast and that, but, like, momentum is a big thing as a fan, too. because you can't wait to get seated on your couch or wherever to get ready for it. I know we'll be excited for tonight's game. Like, there's, you know, the Raptors have an opportunity to do something they've never done. So obviously it's going to be exciting. But we feel like, I feel like we've been talking about KD and, yeah, and all of that for like a month now.
Well, and I think that's probably why this felt a little bit different, the NBA final, because of how significant the Kevin Durant injury is.
Right.
And it's so multi-layered, and there's been so much to get into from that perspective, on top of the details of Game 5.
Right.
And then the anxiety of building up to Game 6, where,
yeah,
you know, I obviously, if you're in Toronto, you're just hoping the Raptors find a way to win this game tonight, because if they don't...
Now it's anxiety.
I can't even imagine what the mood is going to be like in Toronto building up to Sunday night. Like, I don't want to experience it. I have experienced it many times in the past, but I think this will be amplified because of it being for a championship here.
But you've experienced it on the hockey side, and you can't tie the two together.
No.
It's different sports. It's apples and oranges. Like, to me, it's different. I know from you're a long-suffering Toronto fan, so you just lump them all together. But when I watch these Raptors play, like, I don't think of the Maple Leafs at all.
No, and we probably shouldn't, but it's just based on...
I don't either.
Experience.
Yeah, you know? I guess that's what
And let's
saying.
Not pretend like the Raptors have a long history of being this sturdy, yeah, championship caliber,
yeah,
organization.
No, you're right.
They don't.
They've run into LeBron. They've been good teams.
Right, but now you could be running into Golden State. Like, obviously, it's not a must win. You don't have to win tonight, but if you get to a Game 7, then the pendulum will swing.
It's coin flip.
And it's, hey, Golden State's been here before. Klay and Steph and Draymond are coming alive.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why, you know, I fully expect they come out thinking, yeah, let's do it tonight. Like, you're not going to have a poor effort or anything like that from,
no,
the Raptors tonight. But I hope it doesn't go too far where they get a little bit uptight or a little bit nervous thinking, okay, we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we have to go back for Game 7.
Did you hear Kawhi's sound? I think it was yesterday.
Kawhi's not normal, though.
But,
like, you
but,
can't use Kawhi.
But I think he's the perfect thing that they look at.
He is.
But if I'm Kyle... If I'm Serge, like all of the guys in the room, I look at him and go, that guy's a rock. I'm climbing behind him. I think you said it to, was it Rich Eisen yesterday? Like,
Justin Williams.
But you're
talking
Justin
about
Williams,
nervous,
yeah,
energy around you.
If you've got a coach that's sweating and losing his mind behind the bench or you're on the court, it feeds into your room.
They've only got one chance and one chance only, and that's to duplicate what they did in Game 4, I believe, where Kyle was unbelievable. Kawhi did his thing. I think he had 30. Van Vliet was on fire. Danny Green was on fire. If they can duplicate that somehow, they're going to give themselves a good chance,
okay,
to win. If one of those one or two of those parts are off, they don't have a chance.
Finish this sentence.
They have to be almost perfect.
They don't win tonight if Kawhi go.
Well, Kawhi is probably the most obvious,
right,
choice. If for whatever reason he has an off night, you know, it's going to be difficult to pick that up,
right?
Because he brings something that no one else on the team can
right.
bring. I mean, Golden State is going to perform too. There's two teams
on
the court.
But let's be positive
that
they win if.
I think they win if they get depth scoring from Siakam,
right,
from Lowry, and Danny Green's got to hit some shots. You know, like that.
Yeah.
That's what they've done well on the road. That's what they did in Game 3, in Game 4. Serge Ibaka was a beast in Game 4.
Yeah.
He's a guy that when he comes on the court, and Draymond Green is either at the end of his run or on the bench, they don't have an answer for him. So I don't think the crowd is going to factor into the Raptors tonight. I don't think they're going to be nervous about being on the road. They performed really well on the road. But it takes two to tango. I mean, Golden State's clearly going to do everything they can to find a way to pick up a win tonight.
Yeah.
And I think the Raptors... I think they win tonight if they keep playing the way they've consistently played throughout the finals, quite frankly.
Machine-like.
Yeah.
That kind of Kawhi-like.
Yep.
Like, there's nothing to see here. Go
dictate
play.
The pace of
Go
the game.
Play.
Defend. I mean,
yeah,
you've got to defend clearly.
They're going to have high-energy game. But I just, like, to me, nothing screams like that team would be nervous because your top player is not going to show nerves.
Kawhi Leonard will not.
So that... If I'm in the room and I'm looking across, I'm like, that guy's dialed in. That guy's a rock. I just need to follow, you know, kind of get in behind him. You just mentioned it. Binnington makes these saves. Like, Ryan O'Reilly is like, we knew it. You know, he swore. but he he had a little bit of
Riley was Corey outstanding. Crawford.
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic.
He was so good.
Yeah, in his post-game media.
Chris Pronger was in the building last night. Chris will join us in about 15 minutes. We'll get his take on the Blues finally winning a title. I mean, he was the longtime captain there, and what he can learn from the St. Louis victory and maybe apply to his own team down in Florida. So we'll get into a number of things with Chris in about 15 minutes. I've got a quick confirm or deny we'll get to as well.
Ooh. You know old Hooknose was just devastated
he
last night.
He could not find himself.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
Couldn't confirm or deny if he won a ring last night.
Yeah.
Can't confirm or deny who won that game last night.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
Don't forget, though, he might be in running for the Seattle job.
Absolutely. His name is out there. It's circulating. It's out there.
It's bandied
about. It's in the universe.
I will pay you $1 million if he gets the Seattle job.
All right, I'll take that.
Yeah.
What are you going to give
me? I'm not putting up anything.
I don't even want anything.
You're just going to give me $1 million.
I will give you $1 million cash if that guy gets the Seattle job.
You know how bad that day will be for you? Fergie's back in the GM chair, and you got to hand over $1 million cash.
And you got to do it at Christie Flats or what's it?
Christie Pitts. Yeah, Christie I need Pitts. It in a duffel bag at Christie Pitts.
I will honestly.
The transaction will go down there.
I will give it to you at the rail in the champagne lounge, and they'll just throw it everywhere.
Oh, well, then I'm not going to win that battle. I'll walk out of there with $20.
Exactly.
$1 million. That guy is not getting that job.
All right. Confirm or deny, and Chris Pronger coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Hall of Famer Chris Pronger will join us in about 10 minutes. Get his take on the Blues win last night. Ray Ferraro coming up in the 5 p.m. hour. Chris Bosch later in the afternoon. And Josh Lewenberg live from Oracle Arena in Oakland, California. Had a game 6 tonight, which you can watch on TSN and on CTV. We threw this out in the previous segment. What has to happen for the Raptors to win tonight? And you can email us live at tsn1050.ca or text us 1050-50. Someone texting in, they win tonight if Kyle Lowry hits double digits in points. I'm in total agreement on that. I mean, you've got to get secondary scoring. Like Kawhi can bring it tonight, and I think he will, but you got to get points. And Kyle's a big part of that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They win tonight because they're undefeated at Oracle all this year. I don't know if that trend necessarily factors into the outcome tonight.
That's where I don't know. That's where I think the odds are kind of stacked against them to go in there and win 3 times. And I know the St. Louis Blues did it in Boston
yesterday.
They did it in Winnipeg, but this seems like a different animal. I don't know why, but just last game there, the odds are stacked against. And speaking of Kyle Lowry, is there any particular reason that he can't tee off for 30 points? Like, is that just...
No, he can.
Yeah, but it never happens. It's like it's this thing where it's like, oh, he had 12 points. Great. It's like...
Well, he did, remember...
$30 million point guard? He can't... Like, can't he light it up and go nuts?
Game 1 Milwaukee. Remember, he did. He went off, and they lost that game. But everyone was like, oh, thankfully, Kyle had his 30 points. So now he can just tuck away the rest of his
postseason. I know, but I see the app.
Postseason.
He gets doubled, like, 10 points. Great. Like... Yeah. What?
No, he's a stat stuffer type of guy, and he's got to defend
well
take charges.
Leads,
but
put it this way,
he's got to put up points.
Wasn't there a game he had nil and right across the board?
That was the first game against Orlando.
Right.
And DJ Augustine just handed him his lunch. That was not a good afternoon.
But didn't J. Lou come on and was like, yeah, but his, you know, he had like a couple
underlying
rebounds.
Stats.
Like, yeah, his underlying stats.
I love that. I wish when I have a brutal show, someone can say, actually, we reviewed it, and the underlying stats of your horrible radio show actually indicates it wasn't as bad as you thought it was.
Yeah, we've had a few basement podcasts. Is that what we call
some
it?
Wayne's World type
Wayne's World,
episodes
yeah.
where maybe the underlying stats would indicate they weren't that bad.
A lot better than you think.
Raptors win tonight if they contest threes and make their own. Yeah, you can't have that same discrepancy, 47% for Golden State and only 20 or 25% for you. That cannot happen tonight. And this one's a pretty obvious one. They win tonight if Nick Nurse does not take a bad timeout.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. And one more here. We'll read these throughout the afternoon. There's a lot of them coming in. They win tonight if the refs call the game the way it's supposed to be called. The conspiracy theorists out there are a little bit concerned about that.
Yeah, but that's excuses are for losers.
That's right.
Like, go and win, and you don't have to look back. The one thing I will say, last night, refs weren't a factor. And I think the league was probably a little bit scared of
they
that.
They had to be holding their breath. They're like, just get out of this final game.
So there was one penalty, and it was an over the glass.
Yeah.
Pareko early on.
Yep. And there was nothing significantly missed.
There was a couple like...
You could have called.
Yeah. Like Chara had a couple muggings in the corner where you were like, yeah, that probably
could have given him a 2 minute there.
But But for the most part, I think the refs are like, you guys sort this out. You know how to play. And it was. You know, Chris Roone is a really good ref. I believe he was one of them. So they did a fantastic job last night. That was, I kept thinking to myself, we're going to have a goalie interference.
Nope, didn't happen.
No, we're going to have.
All right, Chris Pronger in about 5 minutes. You guys want to get to a few confirm or denies?
Yes.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
All right. Just a three-pack here of confirm or deny.
Hit me.
The Boston Bruins are more likely to make it back to a cup final next season than the St. Louis Blues.
Deny. I think the Blues, they can go on. I think there's, with that group, maybe one or two more years. You got to go right back at it with that group, don't you?
I say confirm.
Bruins?
Yeah. What's happening to that team? I don't think any, like, they don't have any, like, major issues to deal with.
No, I would confirm it, too, for a couple of reasons. St. Louis caught lightning in a bottle, and they ran with it. Full credit to them. I have no idea what Jordan Binnington is next year. I have no idea yet.
Right.
Yeah, and you got to, I got to go with you guys. I'm going to deny because.
No, you're confirming it then. You think the Bruins have a better shot than St. Louis?
Because I think of teams like Winnipeg and Nashville, like they're just going to.
But Tampa and Toronto over
you're
here.
Right, like,
I mean, listen, that's
Washington.
Confirm or deny.
Washington.
That's a tough one.
It is.
I don't think either team gets back to a cup final. Well, that's the truth. I don't think either team, but that the question is
I would. I would lean a little bit more on Boston just because I think there's a lot of stability there and like contracts don't have to be dealt with and stuff. And you're right. There was some lightning in a bottle on a lot of different fronts there.
Confirm or deny, Jordan Binnington will be a top 10 statistical goalie next season.
I'm going to confirm it. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be like that. They play well in front of them.
Yeah, I could see it.
Confirm.
Hook I have knows. No idea how many games he'd play. If he could play 48 and be top 10 statistical.
I'm going to go to Party City. I'm going to get a big Gonzo hook nose for this segment.
We don't need props for confirm
exactly.
or deny.
I'm gonna, just a massive hawk nose.
I'll confirm it. I think there's a good chance with the way that they play. And I believe that defensive core, not much is happening.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much
another year.
Sticking together, yeah. Like, I don't want to keep doubting this kid. Like, he just won a Stanley Cup, and his numbers were spectacular.
Do you remember how many bullets I took saying, like, Matt Murray was the same thing?
Right. That's what I'm saying here. Like, would it be the first time ever a guy was just unbelievable? Doesn't mean he's brutal. What if he's the 13th best starting goalie in the league?
He's still a fantastic goaltender.
Still a really good
goalie. The one thing I will say, like,
so I'm going to deny it.
This isn't Scott Darling.
No, he's not a plug that's going to disappear. Yeah, he's like, their guy, and he's
like
going to
play. Scott Darling played on a cup-winning team and helped them win, but for him to be pushed into a starting role, Binnington showed he can be a starter and at the most critical times, just like Matt Murray. The scary part is we don't know what they are as a starter in the regular season.
Right. After you get through a full year.
They're still going to be starters, but they may be 50-game starters
instead
of 60 or 65.
Today, the first official day of the off season, or I guess next season technically.
Yeah.
Final confirm or deny. The Maple Leafs make a roster player trade before they sign Mitch Marner.
I'm going to confirm
that. I'm confirming it, too. Yeah.
A couple of quick confirms over there.
Just because of the fact that I actually thought the way the narrative was, you know, we're like priority one, we've got to get it. I thought it would have been done by now.
Well, they may be sitting on it.
Well, they might be. I don't know.
Maybe sitting on it, you know, with the rap fever and all that. But I think they... Not that they have to. I believe they will on a lot of different fronts. And it's clearing cap money to sign not only Marner, but some other players. And they have to. Kyle Dubas is working. Like, he's not sitting just with a Raps jersey on. He's working.
But
he
ideally, he'd like to get the Marner deal done yesterday. Yeah. You know, but I don't
sure
think
that
Marner's interested.
I'm sure
in
they know what
timeline.
Mitch Marner's asking for, and they know what they're offering. So he's got to work around that.
Yeah, I'll confirm it, too. Yeah. It sounds like there are deals in the workings here.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a guy on the line who was in the building last night, one of the all-time great St. Louis Blues, former captain of the team. He's won a cup himself. Now he's down in the front office with the Florida Panthers, but most importantly for him, I'm sure,
right,
friend of the show.
Yeah, he is a friend of the
show. Friend of the show, Chris Pronger. What's happening, Chris?
What's going on, boys?
Are you celebrating today? I mean, what was your reaction to that win last night?
I was happy for the team, happy for the city, the fans. You know, it's been a long time coming, 52 years, 49 years since they'd been in the finals. It was exciting. Happy for the ownership group here. I know a lot of them, friendly with a lot of them. All the way around, I'm pleased. And now I get to turn the page, get excited about the draft coming up for the Florida Panthers and what's to come for us next year.
So walk us through it. You were there last night, so the Blues win the cup. Who are you most concerned with now the next week of their lives? It's not even maybe the guys on the roster. Is it a guy like Kelly Chase? Is it Brett Hull? Is it like who?
All know Hull's living his best life.
Yeah. Yeah. If you had to start a reality show right now for the next week, who would it be? Who would the camera be on?
Well, I can tell you this right now, Noodles, and you've been to this place. The players, I went home, we flew back and I went home, and the players went from the plane to Enterprise Center, because I think they had a little shindig at the Enterprise Center, and then at about 5 in the morning they went to Obie Clark's, and they are still there.
Just having a great time.
With the cup.
With the cup in tow.
Well, it's only 3:30 in the afternoon, so I mean, there's plenty of time, so, that is, that's...
I think they'll put in a pretty good shift.
Yeah, it sounds like, well, listen, when you consider what Ovechkin and the Capitals did last year, those are big shoes to fill, man.
Yeah. Exactly.
Big shoes to fill. Yeah, they certainly are with Chris Pronger. Like you said, now you gear up for the draft and you gear up for free agency down in Florida. As you're watching the Blues go through this run, is there anything you learned from St. Louis or you took from the way that they play that you're going to try or you hope that you can apply to Florida?
Well, I just think you look at their roster, you look at their team, they had complete buy-in to the way they needed to play to be successful. And I think when you look at, especially in the finals, when you look at the games they lost, they did not play that way for 60 minutes. And the games they won, they played like that for 60 minutes. And they got good goaltending. So, you know, I don't think there's any secret sauce here. It's, you know, teams play to an identity. Teams play to, you know, the types of players that they have. And they play a certain way. It doesn't mean playing heavy or playing finesse or anywhere in between is wrong. It's whatever suits the personnel you have. And the way your coach wants them to play, you know, in this case, Craig Berube comes in. Having watched them pre-Berube with Mike Yeo and then post when Berube arrived, a totally different team, a total different style, and a more entertaining style for the fans. And I think that's one of the reasons why the fans have really rallied around this team and stuck with them is they're an entertaining team to watch in the fact that they're physical, they score goals, they play an up-tempo, high-energy game, and the fans here appreciate that.
Prongs, we were talking at the beginning of the show. Do you think this might, I mean, the St. Louis Blues kind of revamped their center ice position, Bozak signing, you know, they got O'Reilly, they got Shen. Do you think teams might try to mix it up and spice up some trades or do something different just to take a shot and say, you know how teams are just in love with their own players, but they never win? It's like, why? Why not mix it up a little bit? Do you think that a little bit of that might happen?
Yeah, I think possibly. I think you look at what Columbus did and going all in and trying to pushing the chips in and trying to win. You know, some of the moves Boston made, picking up Johansson, picking up Coyle. You know, you look at St. Louis and the moves they made in the offseason. And so, I mean, if you're all in and you think you're in your window, I think you have to try to do it. You know, there's long-term success and the chance to win and the chance to be competitive, and everybody has their cycles. It's how short the down cycle can be made or alleged down cycle, because some people, as we know, and some teams are able to turn around pretty quickly depending upon what kind of stars you have, how, you know, the age that they're at, and the rest of that stuff. So I think you have to know your personnel and know your team. But I think seeing the success of the Blues, you know, the somewhat success of Columbus and some of these other teams that have made big, bold moves, I think you can certainly see teams, you know, I think the one thing that we have to look at is the trade that St. Louis made, they actually saved money on the cap. So it was actually a win-win. They improved their center ice position and they saved money on the cap. Yeah. So being able to do that, they gave up, you know, numbers and you know, draft picks. But, you know, I think when you look around the league and you look at trades that have happened over the last 30 or 40 years, usually, for the most part, the team that gets the best player wins the trade.
Well, it happened last night, obviously, with Ryan O'Reilly winning the Conn Smythe. Chris, you mentioned something, and this I said this before you came on. If this league is a copycat league, when you take a look at other teams, and even the teams that have had success in the last couple years, it's St. Louis last night, it's Washington previous year, it's Pittsburgh, depth continues to stand out for me, and it's depth that can play. Like, every team has top-end talent, but I'm watching that fourth line of St. Louis, and I know Steen is a guy who's kind of gone up and down in his career, but he's a fantastic player when he wants to be. And Boston's fourth line with Corrali on there and Achari, like, do you see now that the focus has to be on depth, but the type of depth that can give you goals and energy and physicality, if that's anything I would take out of it, that's what I'd be looking at is physicality, but you have to have guys that can contribute down there.
Well, that's exactly it. And you look at, you know, for instance, St. Louis's fourth line, they've been very productive throughout the playoffs. They provide energy. They play with a physical edge. They play very smart defensive hockey. You know, they're not a detriment on the ice. They're actually, they probably wanted to match up their fourth line against the top line of the Bruins. So you look at, you know, you talked about revamping the center ice position. This Oscar Sundquist came out of nowhere, was a healthy scratch a lot of last year, and now this year comes in and is had an excellent regular season, and now I've been lights out in the playoffs. So you need guys like that to develop. And you know, Ivan Barbashev's another one that has kind of remade his game, was a bit of a scorer, I think, in junior and you know, when he was up for the draft. And now he's running around with his head cut off, running guys through the boards and playing with a physical edge and killing penalties and taking faceoffs. And, you know, they're able to roll Zach Sanford in and out of the lineup, Sammy Blaze in and out of the lineup, you know, Fabry, who barely played. You got all kinds of guys there. And I think that's one of the reasons why Doug Armstrong didn't move Fabry, say, at the deadline, is because I think he knew if they were going to make a long run, they were going to need bodies and bodies that could provide offense, but, you know, provide that depth that's necessary to win in the league. And, O-Dog, as you know, in Noodles, when you're playing in the league and you're going far in the playoffs, usually the top two lines on each team cancel each other out because they've usually got a bunch of stars, and you would hope if they're going to be similar production-wise. And it's the bottom six player, the bottom two lines, and the bottom pairing on defense that are really going to kind of win you the cup. For lack of a better way, you need production from your bottom six. You need, you know, you look at the goal Robert Bortuzzo scored against San Jose. That was a huge goal. It comes from all over, up and down your lineup.
With Chris Pronger, we'll get you out of here on this based on your own experience, because as cool as it is to watch the winning team celebrate, it's difficult to watch the losing team have right to deal with that reality. And you've been on both sides of it. You've won a cup, you've lost a cup. What's the more extreme emotion to deal with, the happiness of winning or the sadness of losing?
Well, I mean, it sucks to lose, and that, especially to go that far. I lost in Game 7 in Carolina in 06 with Edmonton. I mean, it sucks, especially when you feel like you should have won. And, you know, I'm sure this is going to leave a mark on Boston, especially playing at home, you know, playing a great Game 6 here in St. Louis and then, you know, laying an egg last night. I know they had a ton of shots and, you know, there was a few grade A chances that Binnington stopped early in that first period. And then once St. Louis got the lead, I knew going into the game that whoever scored first was most likely going to win, and that proved out. But losing, absolutely sucks, and you're gutted. You know, and you can't wait for the season to get started to try to get another kick at it because it sits in the pit of your stomach. And, you know, when you win, you're enjoying it, you're having fun, and, you know, you feel like a weight's been lifted off your shoulders that you've been able to realize a childhood dream and be able to win your last game and celebrate with your friends who you've, you know, blood, sweat, and tears throughout the course of the season, and you've been able to realize your goals and dreams of that year. And you feel for the Boston, man. It's hard. You know, I'm sure they looked like a banged-up group. You know, they had a lot of injuries, you know, and Chara playing through a broken jaw and all the rest of that. I'm sure it's going to take its toll on that team.
Prongs, you're friends with ownership. We had a debate the other day. Will you get a ring?
No.
Because our host here thinks anybody that knows anybody or was alumni just gets a ring. He thinks guys that got traded mid-season should get...
Noodles, you would get a ring.
Absolutely.
It was 20 years ago I played there, so I don't, what is the statute of limitations?
Hey, I haven't played here for 15 years, so I'm in the same boat.
You guys will take them for free, though. Don't pretend like you're above that.
You know what? I don't want one. I want my own. I want to earn my own.
That's right.
I don't buy it.
See, that's an athlete. That's an athlete right there. You want a ring for knowing
I'll take
Noodles.
It for free. Absolutely. I deserve a St. Louis Blues Cup ring for sure. I know Pronger and Chaser comes on, and yeah, absolutely. 6 degrees of separation for cup rings.
That's right.
All right, Prongs. Right. Good luck in the offseason, man. We'll do it again soon.
All right, thanks. Sounds good. Appreciate it. Take care, guys.
There's Chris Pronger.
He had the dagger on you too, like. I was going to correct him and say, you know, Brian played in the West or in the OHL.
No,
I like. I love that. What I love about the comment is, it's like, you know, it's like, what if I didn't know? You know what I mean? Like he was like, "Oh, dog and Noodles, you guys would know this." Well, what if I didn't?
Yeah,
I didn't know what the hell he was even talking about.
I would have been like, I didn't go to the final, Chris. You know, like,
yeah, exactly.
We made it to, I think, second or third round.
Hey, you guys would know what it's like to play in Anaheim.
Really. No,
never played in Anaheim. Yeah. You would know.
Hey, dog, as you know, Noodles, when you're playing in the league.
No, maybe
you
I wouldn't
what?
Know.
That's what he gets for the Dan Patrick stuff. For
That's
two
right.
days, you've been floating. Was it yesterday or the day before?
2 days ago, yep.
Floating around here That's for two right. days.
Yep. I heard you on Dan's show the other day, and you sounded normal and reasonable.
Normal and reasonable.
Yeah, like you were supposed to sound like just some moron.
Yeah. No. I wouldn't have come on because I thought you were frothing at the mouth like a lunatic with Dan Patrick. Thanks, Rich.
Yeah. Normal and reasonable.
Normal and reasonable.
Those are two good descriptions.
I'll take it. Could be a lot worse.
Exactly.
The weather in Toronto is horrendous, and we're waiting on updates for Jurassic Park tonight. MLSC.
They might be going indoors, Hazy B.
There is a recent development. We will tell you about that next. All right, game 6 tonight, 9 p.m. tip-off, and you can watch the game on TSN tonight. James Duthie will be doing his thing out there, man. He is jacked up for the game tonight, and if you're not in Jurassic Park or if you're not at home, you're looking for a place to watch downtown, make sure you head over to the Amsterdam Brewhouse on the Queens Quay, TSN 1050's playoff headquarter. As for Jurassic Park, again, the weather, we all know this by now, it's terrible, and it's not supposed to really stop tonight. It's supposed to continue to rain and be cold. So MLSC, their staff have given out wristbands to the fans lined up to get into Jurassic Park and have advised them to come back at 6 p.m. due to the risk of thunderstorms downtown. A decision on whether or not to relocate Jurassic Park inside Scotiabank Arena has not been made yet. So clearly, MLSE does not want them going inside.
Why, though? I don't understand that.
My assumption, and this is totally my opinion, I don't know.
It's probably to get the people to work inside. Like, you got to get ushers, you got to get concessions.
That's a part of it, too, I would think.
Like, what are they just sitting at home, and it's like, oh, they got a bat call? It's like, get in here?
You're Although, if you had enough advance, like, if you made the decision 2 days ago, you could probably staff it.
It's probably, I'm sure that they've got a contingency plan. If this, you know, a Jurassic Park contingency plan.
Although it's been bad weather before, and they didn't allow people into the building. Now, they might have had something else going on that night.
This is the finals. They've got an opportunity to win here.
We've been talking about it for 2 weeks. Why aren't they allowing people inside? Look at what happened with St. Louis last night.
They had two buildings full.
Yeah, they had Busch Stadium, and they had Enercare
Stadium.
And
did you see,
Stadium.
It was pouring rain.
Yeah.
And they still had 20,000 people at
Busch Stadium. My assumption is they like the view of them being outside. Like, it's their thing. They're the first ones to do it. No one else in North America was doing it. Jurassic Park was the original. And I would guess there's probably money involved.
Right. They probably, sponsorship or something.
They probably sold it to sponsors, and they probably got giveaways and concerts and all that kind of stuff set up. Or if you bring it inside, maybe it's got a different vibe to it, or it's not logistical. I don't know. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
I'm sure they've had an accountant or a bean counter take a look at what it would look like if they let 20,000 people into Scotiabank tonight. And you're going to sell beer, you're going to sell popcorn. Like, I you're right, ushers and that would probably have to be on call, but I'm sure there's staff. Like, I'm sure they work for whatever, like a company.
Well, but that's the thing. I don't know how licensing works in the province.
We're missing out, I'm sure, on red tape.
Are you allowed to sell beer if you don't have an event ongoing? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure how all that works.
But I would imagine that part of this stuff would be waived. This is a unique event. This isn't something that's going to happen every week.
Well,
this is the first time ever that the Raps have an opportunity to win. I think you throw a little bit of the rules out the window.
I would think so, too, but I don't know who makes that call. Is it John Torrey? Because Torrey's down there all the time.
Torrey and Ford
with his jacket on.
Have you noticed that?
Jacket.
I don't like that.
Does he have exclusivity over the gold jacket? Because I haven't seen anybody else in that type of jacket.
Oh, yeah. That's like that Toronto Maple Leaf jacket that people wear.
I've never seen anyone but John Torrey wear that jacket.
Dude,
you see him dancing
him
down
TV?
There today?
Yeah.
I like him.
Well, that's fine, but he can't dance worth...
Well,
he's got four left feet.
Look at him on TSN4. That is
just awful. It looks like he has Forrest Gump knee braces on.
That would be me dancing, too. At least he's trying.
At least he's trying. Wrong.
Well, what are you
That's
supposed to?
That's awful.
Okay, if he stands there and goes, "You guys dance, I'm going to stand there," the optics of that looks poor, too.
Well, why does he have to dance?
Because he's pretty pumped up.
Yeah,
you don't have to dance, though.
As a mayor,
I'm pumped up, too. I'm not dancing.
You don't have to do whatever any constituent tells you to do.
Oh, he should never do that again.
Although I do think he should have exclusivity over that jacket.
Okay.
If I was the mayor, I'd be so corrupt. I'd be like, no one else is allowed to wear this. Only me.
That's true.
Only me. That's how I'd roll. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up. Josh Lewenberg from Golden State. Game 6 tonight. We're teeing it up all afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.